Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians 2, 9. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, for those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Lord, this is your decree. The world does not have to agree to it. The world does not have to allow it. The world can't stop it. This is your decree. The honor of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory. In all, Lord Jesus, your sovereign, majestic power. Lord, we want that. I'm glad we can talk about it and be reconciled to you through your cross. And look forward, as even David has sung, this victory that we have in you. We pray, Lord, that we would have that sense of your greatness today. In Jesus' name, amen. This is about the highest name. I looked up the top names of 2023 thus far that you name newborns. The top five girl names: Olivia, Emma, Charlotte, Ava, and Isabella. Addison, by the way, is number 64. Alice is number 75. The top boy names: Noah, Liam, Oliver, Elijah, and Lucas. Levi is number 25. David, number 40. Michael, number 15. William is number 27. However, all those names tell us nothing about the content of the character of those individuals. They just started their lives when they're born and given the name. What do we know about Olivia? What's Olivia going to be? Number one name for girls. What about Noah? What do they got that name? What are we going to? Is this Noah going to build an ark? I doubt it. We have no idea what they're going to do, because they've not done anything. And having not done anything, their character has not been filled in to the name. It's an empty container waiting to be filled with goods or bads. You know, our life is, you know, those containers you get at Walmart, you bring them home, you put something in it, until you put whatever you put in it, it becomes that kind of container. If it's a Fruit Loop container, guess what's in it? You know? So the container of our name must be filled in with our character. And that begins at birth, and we start defining who we are as a person. So the true value of the name is the character. We must make a name for ourselves. Several years ago, if you went up to someone and said, you're going to Google something, what was that? You're going to do what? Google something. Well, now, I never use Google, so I never Google anything. But if I say that, you know, because Google is a name that has been made, a search engine and other things, that enables you to find things on the internet. Everybody knows that now. It's made a name for itself. There's good in that and there's bad in that, but Google is now a known quantity, a known name. Those in Christ get a new name. Did you ever hear that song? There's a new name written down in glory and it's mine. Well, that you get a new name because you're a new person. I mean, you don't change your name, you change your character. You get a new heart and a new mind. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. If you gave that choice to the world in general, you'd rather have a good name or great riches, what would they pick? Probably the riches, right? But a good name is better. And a good name means you are a good character. Alexander the great military leader, met a soldier named Alexander, his name, who was a coward. Alexander the Great told him to either get courage or change his name. He didn't want an Alexander in his army who was a coward. So this text, verse 9, begins with these three words, "for this reason." There is a reason for the exaltation of Jesus Christ. And this must be given, the example of Christ must be given the proper respect. It's sad that the Lord's commands regarding our attitude are taken without as much seriousness as it should be. A lot of people see these words about others and doing for others and putting others above ourselves, and they see it as an optional thing. It's not really the big thing. They'll do it if they want to. But this is a very serious section. A lot of church people don't take them seriously. Not speaking of us here in this room necessarily, but just in general. That you hear a command to love someone. Well, if I don't find them lovely, I just won't love them. The Lord did not command us to like everybody. He commanded love. Choosing for their welfare. I've heard people talk about couples thinking about divorce. You mentioned about, well, the Bible says we shouldn't. Well, you know, God wouldn't expect her to live with that man. We see what you've done right there. You just thrown that away. I mean, sometimes divorce is put upon you by the other. But, you know, it wouldn't happen. But, you know, it does. But we can't, when it's not appropriate, and like I say, there's times when it is. But when it's not appropriate, we can't say, well, you know, I don't like it. Because we have to follow the will of the Lord in that. So we got to take it seriously. It's the second commandment. But what we've already seen in Philippians 2, is that we as God's people are to be of the same mind, the same love, the same spirit, the same purpose. If you got four things the same there, we're all pulling in the same direction, you got harmony, unity, happiness. We talked about baseball earlier. A baseball team, you got 9 players out in the field, they're all pulling in the same direction, or you got a bad team. If the outfielders are meeting during the game and just meeting in the center field and eating Reese's peanut butter cups while the game's going on, they're not pulling in the same direction. If the pitcher's throwing balls into the seats instead of the catcher, he's not pulling in the same direction. A church, you don't have to be the pastor, you don't have to be a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, or an elder. A church member, a person who is saved, is to pull in the same direction and just as fervent and active as anyone else. It's a serious matter. And a refusal to obey that command is made worse by the fact that we have the example of Jesus who did follow this command. He who had glory as a right. Does it bother you if someone is elected to Congress and they're making, I forget what they're making, let's say $75,000 a year. After a year, they're worth $2.3 million. Does that bother you? Is there something going on there? You're thinking, wait a minute now, they're not serving, they're being served. They're not laying a sacrifice down for us. They're getting something from this. They're in it for themselves. I noticed a headline that said that the government was taking chocolate milk away from kids in school, or trying to. I said, well, why not? I mean, take everything away. I just don't get why there are people in government who get up in the morning and then they say, well, what can we take away from our children today? And the reason they do that is because the concern is not for the children. Of course, they say it is. I bet every one of us have seen people on the sidewalk laying dead with a glass of chocolate milk laying right next to them. They took it and then keeled over. And it's just making stuff up. But this love that we're required to give, we're supposed to think of others. Jesus existed in the form of God. The King James has an excellent translation. I'm not big on the King James anymore because of the Old English. But in verse 5 of Philippians 2, where it says he had an attitude which was lowly, and he emptied himself. Verse 7. That he made himself of no reputation, is what the King James said. He made himself of no reputation. He made him like he was a nobody. He chose to be a nobody. And if Jesus did that, who is a somebody, then every one of us should do that. Last time I noted the humiliation of Jesus, without being more specific, there's a lot in the Gospels. We're told he emptied himself of all the honor that was due him. He humbled himself and became obedient to death on the cross. He became a bondservant. There's a song called Ivory Palaces. It's not in our hymn book. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. That was Jesus. He left the glories of heaven and came here as a bondservant. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus experienced the reality of sin's consequences. He had no place to lay his head. I have a place every night to lay my head, don't you? We have a thing that Jesus gave up. It's a wonderful thing. I can't imagine living a day and not knowing where I was going to be that night. He had no place to lay his head. Foxes, he said, have dens. Birds have nests. I have no place to lay my head. He lives as a vagabond and a wanderer. I haven't been on vacation in a while, but I mean, go anywhere. I could take about, at the beach, I could take about 4 or 5 days, and I was done. I was vagabonding for 4 days at the beach, which is not really suffering. Well, it is a little. But, I mean, you're ready to get back home, you know, back to your normal life. And Jesus wandered as a vagabond. He was not in the same place all the time. He went from place to place throughout the nation of Israel. He was falsely accused and opposed by people. He should have been welcomed. You bring somebody eternal life, should they at least thank you? It says he came into his own did not receive him. He saw all the maladies that sin has brought into the world. The Bible tells us in places that Jesus groaned heavily when he sees the suffering that sin has brought. He brought himself into this world. His whole life was a life of humiliation and meanness and poverty and disgrace. He suffered, felt pain and loneliness. He was not received as he should have been. And on and on and on and on. And all this from being in the ivory palaces of heaven with all the glory of heaven. And he came here. That's the reason that he is exalted. When it says in the first phrase there, for this reason also, this is the basis for the supreme exaltation of our Lord. His humbling of himself, his becoming of no reputation to accomplish the will of his Father. And remember, he always said that over and over, that he was doing the will of his Father who sent him, and that he would continue to do that. In the garden, when he was sweating drops of blood, not my will, but yours be done. That's our Lord. Our Lord Jesus giving his honor away for a time in order to fulfill the Father's will. Luke 9:48 says, the one who is least among you, this is the one who is great. And Jesus is the example of that, even though he is great in himself. When we've done all that we should do, we should say we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. The Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Our Lord Jesus was humble. It's very odious to God that people are proud with no reason for it, no basis for it. So that's the reason. This exaltation of Christ was brought on by his humiliation, voluntarily taken for the will of God. What is this high exaltation of Jesus Christ then? Well, verse 9, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Jesus was exalted to the highest rank and power, to the most supreme majesty. We have a chorus. We sung it in India too. Be exalted, O God. It's from the Psalms. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. How often do we yearn in this world that Jesus Christ be exalted? I'd love to hear when the powers that be come together, that they'd bow their knee and recognize their need for Jesus Christ and his word to guide them. You know, our founding fathers did that, and a lot of them weren't even Christians except in the Judeo-Christian ethic concept. But they knew. There you've got brazen rebellion against God as though we know more than God. And so how often do you just, in your imagination, say, wow, wouldn't it be so great to hear the name of Jesus lauded and honored in this society? But we butt our heads against brick walls and try to bring honor to Jesus, and the world resists. People keep scorning Christ and ignoring him as like he's a byword. Jesus Christ, the most people in this world believe or think about Jesus Christ, is as a curse word, not for blessing. When you're really upset, then you mention the name of Christ. When you're really mad about something, then you mention Christ as a byword, as a curse word. In vain. But what we should do, God has already done. The Bible here says that God highly exalted him. This has already been done. It'd be nice if we did it. I wish we would. I hope to see it. But God has already done it. Just like unity, God has already put us together. Unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, we're to keep that. God has already put us together. God has already exalted Jesus Christ. His name is already the highest name. Some of this has not happened yet. But the exaltation of Christ in his name has already occurred. He's been given that name. But one question is, how can Jesus be more exalted by God than he is being God, his divine nature. I mean, he's already God. How can he go higher than that? How can you give Jesus a higher name than, you know, Emmanuel, God with us? Well, this is speaking of the honor of his humanity. That Jesus as a man came in at the very lowest place in society, born in a manger, a place where they put food for cattle. Put him in a manger. Couldn't he have an inn? And he was humble from the very beginning. His parents were poor. They were just common people. They were not kings, princes, queens. All that God, Jesus has with the Father's glory, all he prays in John 17 is that be restored. He just wants that back. But his humanity, the name of his humanity, the name that he has brought upon himself by that's been bestowed upon him by God, is what he did in his human body. We saw a glimpse of it at the Transfiguration in the Bible when it speaks about Jesus being transfigured before them and he's shone like the sun. This is just a glimpse of that. But he doesn't get more God. He's already as much God as you can be. But he gets a higher name. So that among mankind, there's no greater name. So he's been given that name. The depth of the humility of Jesus for the glory of God pleased the Father. Jesus was glad to follow the will of God. And that pleased God. Is that enough for you? If you please God and humble yourself and do something God wants you to do, even if you don't want to do it, is that enough for you? If God says, I am very happy that you sacrificed that and did this for my glory, is that enough? It was enough for Jesus. Jesus was willing to do in that time the will of the Father, suffer whatever it was required of him, and then to be exalted. Try to exalt yourself in this world, you don't get the other. Jesus has been given a name that is above every name. And again, name is character. No one in human history has been greater than Jesus, not even close. We know of great names in the Bible. Abraham was a great man. Moses, David, Enoch, and Elijah were taken without death. The apostles suffered, preached the gospel, very noble characters. No greater name than Jesus. You ask the world that, they'll give you some person that's nowhere near the top as the greatest name. But Jesus is at the top. What if people disagree with that? What if our Muslims in the world say, no. Muhammad is the greatest name. Muhammad is the greatest name. In fact, the number one name in the United Kingdom for babies, male children born, is Muhammad. Muhammad. Muhammad is greater than Jesus. And this is common in false religion, is you say that Jesus is second to their prophet. So what if they disagree? What if they say, well, okay, I disagree with that. What does God do when someone disagrees with him? Does he say, well, I didn't expect that? Let me reorder my plans here. You know, the healthier life will be lived by those who know from the start that you cannot disagree with God and get away with it. No opinion matters. 1 Peter 5:11, Peter writes, to him be the dominion forever and ever. That is acknowledging that his dominion is forever and ever. People disagree with Jesus all the time. I talk to people and they'll tell me something that they believe, and I say, that's fine, you know, as long as you're comfortable disagreeing with Jesus. As long as you disagree with Jesus, you don't mind that, then fine, that's a good point. Well, most people don't want to disagree with Jesus, but they don't want Jesus to disagree with them. They want Jesus to agree with them, and so they make that up. Well, he must agree with me. There's no greater name. The name of Jesus is unique. Now, other people can be named Jesus. I said a baseball player named Jesus Alou. Some of you might remember way back. I saw him on TV the first time. Jesus Alou, it said on the screen. I said, what? But, you know, his character. Our Lord Jesus has the highest name. By his humiliation to the lowest place in this world, he has been lifted up to the highest. And because of that, the third point says that there's some things that will happen at the name of Jesus. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's a practice in places where they have kings and queens, like the United Kingdom, where the monarch, the king, right now it's King Charles III, I believe, the British people will bow. The women will curtsy. I think the men get the better deal on that. Curtsy, and I don't know if I could do it without falling down. But they'll bow, and they do that. They do it because that's their sovereign in a constitutional monarchy like they have. They have a sovereign. When the queen would ride by in the car, the people would stop and do that. When the prime minister would show up to have the queen tell him to form a government, do whatever, he would bow. Whenever King Charles comes by my house, I don't bow because he's not my king. I mean, I hope he has a successful reign, But the nation is the one that he holds sway over, the United Kingdom. There's no bowing by those who are not citizens of the country. Some of our presidents have done that. That's foolish, but they don't ever ask me before they do anything. So, but it's not expected that an American will, you know, that we broke away from King George. We have a different setup. But Jesus is not a regional king. He is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He is honored by all nations and peoples. He will be. He is the sovereign over all nations of the world. Well, we didn't vote for him. There was no voting involved. Do you notice how it doesn't say that God polled the people of the world and we found that 54% chose Jesus, and so he made him gave him a good, great name? He didn't care. Jesus has a name from the Father. That is because of his quality of character in himself, regardless of what people do with it. His is not a mere honorary authority of a royal bloodline. He was of the line of David for Israel and to show the Messiah's line. But, you know, in England right now, United Kingdom, Charles is king and William, his son, is next in line. And below that, is it Louis? Somebody? I don't know. George. So they're in line like that. That's just by bloodline. Jesus' bloodline is divine as well as human. He's not a regional ruler. He is the ruler of all. And the extent of our Lord's authority and honor is in every area, heaven, earth, and under the earth. Now, a day is coming that we will be shocked. I'm not talking about it when it snows again. I'm always shocked when it snows. Most of my life I've lived in shock when it snows. When I was in Minnesota, I was in shock when it didn't snow. But down here, if it snows, it's worse here, of course. In North Carolina, it was also a little bit of a shock sometimes. So a day of shock is coming when all the people who live today who are fully confident that the way they are living and the things they believe are right will know one day that they're completely wrong. And it really is going to be a shock that they suffer. Those in heaven will bow the knee to Christ. All angels, this happens now. Also those on earth, kingdom of the world. All that'll play out. Revelation 11, verse 15. We have a lot about the kingdom there. Revelation 11, 15, the seventh angel sounded. There were loud voices in the heavens saying, the kingdom of this world, of the world, has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That time comes, that's the setup. That's who's leading. That's who's got the kingdoms of the world. Those under the earth, speaking of dead people, you can't escape Jesus by dying. There are people who believe that once they die, they're clear of this world, they're clear of God, they're clear of humanity, they're clear of all their wrongdoing. Those under the earth will also be judged. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. So the dead will bow the knee. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They sure don't do that now. But one day the glory of Christ will be inescapable. There'll be no more atheists in that day. No one will be unmoved or dismissive. When Jesus is pictured in Revelation coming, the people just freak out. They don't ignore it. I'll read that in a moment. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why will they do that? Because Jesus Christ is Lord. Some people say, he's not Lord to me. He's Lord. We don't make him Lord. He's already Lord. I know what that means. You know, we submit to him in our lives, but he's already been made Lord by the Father. And the Father is glorified in the glorification of his Son. It is God's will. John 5, 23, Jesus said, it is God's will that men honor the Son as they honor the Father. In Matthew 10, 40, whoever receives Jesus receives him who sent me, Jesus says. So the top name, really, is Jesus in honor. There's content to that name. You all know I'm a great cook. I do a lot of cooking. Made grits yesterday morning, actually. And whenever I put something on for Cindy, I set a timer. Because if I don't set a timer, it turns into something that looks like charcoal. I'm not going to get to it in time. I'm going to forget about it. But there's a timer on all disrespect of Jesus in the world. Everybody today who's disrespecting Jesus, there's a timer on that. There is a space that is counting down. We don't know the time. We can't see the timer. But there's a timer that is counting down for every person who is alienated from God, who are enemies of God, who are enemies of Jesus Christ, who ignore Him, curse Him, disobey Him, rebel against Him. Think of Him only in the once in a while, if even then. The timer is on. God knows it. Jesus said He didn't know it at the time He was here, but I'm sure He knows it now. The day or the hour. But now, God, of course, has that timer. Is it close? Revelation 6:12. I mentioned this earlier. I looked when they broke the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were removed out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? They don't say, I don't believe, I don't believe. Jesus is not my God. You can't judge me. They say, hide us. Hide us. But there's nowhere to hide. They won't stand before the Pope or Muhammad or Gandhi or Buddha. The problem we have in this world is people are not right with Jesus Christ. And the timer is on because He's been given the name which is above every name. Everyone will deal with Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, how good You are to tell us this. Without You telling us, we don't have a chance of being saved. Without Your grace, we would never respond to it. So, Lord, I pray that we would see in the world an impact from Your Lordship. But, Lord, among us, may we honor You every day. Lord, may You hear from us the things You should hear from the world. How great You are, how high Your name is. What a wonderful Savior You are. How much we want You to be exalted above the heavens. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.